Anyway, it's the eighth commandment that I was talking about, and it kind of ended midway, in the middle, so I will continue from where I stopped. The senior pastor explained in two categories about stealing. First, it is about stealing between men, and the second is to steal from God, which is spiritual theft. So there are two main categories, physical theft and spiritual theft. So in the last session, I talked about what physical theft is, and I couldn't finish it, so I would continue from that, from where we left it off. In a small church in countryside, there was a newly ordained pastor delivering the message in Wednesday service. Probably it's because in the countryside and maybe the church was left alone for a long time, so there was nobody in the Wednesday service. So the pastor didn't know what to do, whether to preach the message and lead a, have the worship service or not. So anyway, he thought even though there was nobody, he would deliver the message anyway. And he delivered the message with this title, The Eighth Commandment, You Shall Not Steal. So he delivered the message for about an hour. And the next day, there was a total stranger in the church saying that he wanted to believe in Jesus Christ. And his story was that he was a thief. He came into the church the day before, yesterday, Wednesday. So he came to the church to steal, and because there was this message, he was hiding. And he had to listen. Because he was hiding, he had to listen to the message, the whole message. So he had, while listening to the message, he had a lot of pangs of conscience, and he wanted to accept the Lord. God's word is powerful, and it's living. And it penetrates even to the division of our spirit, soul, and joints and marrow. So I'm sorry, but I will talk to you about you shall not steal. So I explained about the physical thefts between people. First, it is steal or to rob. Second, it is not stealing or robbing, but it is to cause damage to others. It is also stealing. And the third is to steal people, which deserves a death sentence. So what do you have to do? So Ephesians chapter 4 verse 28 says, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. So first, if you stole, you have to repent and steal no longer. So I talked about Zacchaeus. When Jesus came to his house, how he compensated for whatever he had done wrong. So what do you have to do? First, I talked about up to repent and compensate. And second is he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good. So what does it mean that he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good? So this also is divided into two categories, between men and in the workplace. First is that you have to make up your mind to be honest about money. Sometimes you need to borrow some money from others. But when you do that, maybe you borrowed it with no intention to pay it back at all. Or you borrowed it, but you forgot completely and you're not paying it back. Psalm 37 verse 21 says, the wicked borrows and does not pay back, but the righteous is gracious and gives. So those who borrow and do not pay back, they are evil. the Bible says, the wicked. And not only about money, but also about things. Because they are so little, we steal, and yet we do not even know that we stole. Maybe in your attic, or in your drawers, or CD cases, in those places, perhaps you could find something you borrowed from somebody else and did not give back. Especially when you, if you move a house, and maybe you find a lot of things that you borrowed from other people. And also it belongs to theft, borrowing and not returning. And there is a law about how to return what you borrowed, but it is not easy to apply it in modern world. But in some, if it is in good condition, you can just return it. And if it is damaged, you have to buy a new one and return it. Then the owner would be really pleased, I believe. So we can apply this commandment to ourselves. And also if you are lazy in your workplace, it is also stealing in a broad sense. Whether in your office or whether you are raising children at home or if you are doing a part-time job. If you don't do what you are supposed to do at your workplace then it means you are stealing. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 7 says, with goodwill render service as to the Lord and not to men. Do everything as if you are doing it for the Lord. And if you don't, it means you are stealing. Nowadays I couldn't do it, but usually I would meet with the small groups in the young adults mission in Sunday during the lunchtime on Sundays. And there was a college student, sister, who was doing a part-time job, and during the semester. So I was surprised and asked how she could do it during the semester. So she was working in a restaurant, and the owner of the restaurant would allot the timings according to her schedule. So I was wondering how the owner was so nice to her. It is not out of generosity, or it wasn't a part of charitable work, but it was because the customers are satisfied with this server, this sister, and she's diligent, she's kindly and friendly. So he wants to hire her, even if it means he has to adjust to her own schedule. In some cases, sometimes you have to take up some loss. And if you can please others, if you can make others happy by doing so, then it's good. Let me tell you a story about this. There was a young boy called Brooke in a countryside in Austria. His mother died early, and his father is injured, and he has to earn a living. So he was doing the cobbler job, fixing shoes on the streets. So there was a customer who wanted to fix the heel, so he did. And then because it is worn out, and so he shined it too, polished it too. And when the owner of the shoes came back, he was so happy to see this because it looked like new. So he commanded the boy Brooke, saying, "Thank you, little maestro." So you made this saying, you made this worn out shoes all anew with polishing and everything. And there was another boy who was doing the same job. And looking at this Brooke, he kind of laughed at him, sneered at him, saying, "Why would you polish it when the customer is only paying for the heel, fixing the heel? You're a fool." But he said he didn't care. "If I do just a little more, and if I can make the happy, if I can make my customers happy, it doesn't cost me money, so I'll do it anyway." So, and this, because his service was so good, the news about him spread by the words of the mouth from person to person, and it spread widely. And also, this news spread to the manager of a shoe factory too. So the manager, the owner of the factory, thought highly of him. Sometimes there are shoes that were not that didn't pass quality check, that had some flaws. So he hired him as the quality control manager. And many years later, the boy who was sneering at Brooke, he was still fixing the shoes on the streets, but this Brooke became the quality control manager. As the Bible says, if somebody asks you to go with you 1 mile, go with him too. So if you do something extra for other people, and if you can make them happy, then that could be a way, a shortcut to your success. So in human relations or in your workplace, let us check whether we are really doing it out of goodwill and with joy, or being coerced. Proverbs 16:11 says, "A just balance and scales belong to the Lord. All the weights of the bag are His concern." Do not cheat on your weights, on your measures, in your merchandise. We don't have balances or scales. We have nowadays digital scales and measures. But anyway, basically it means do not cheat others, do not take any improper gains, financial gains. So, be honest in your transactions, commercial transactions. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 to 10 says, "But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." So the importance of honesty in commercial transaction is emphasized once again in the Bible. Let me tell you another story. There was a employee in a company that was doing some work for a big soccer club. And after a big, he was told by the financial manager of the football club, to come after a big game that he would get paid after the game. So he went to the financial manager after the game, and then he got the payment, and then on the way back he counted it, and it was much more than what he was owed. So Because there were so many people after the game, because the financial department, there were so many things, it was chaos. So, the financial manager didn't know he paid him, overpaid him, and there was only God who knew that he was overpaid. And he thought about the standpoint of the financial manager. Suppose there is a $2,000 gone missing. And what did happen? The manager would have to pay it out of his own pocket. So he felt sorry for him, so he went back all the way and he told him what happened and he gave back this $2,000. And this financial manager was so surprised, saying, for all these years, you're the first one who would pay back this type of money. And for many years, so after many years, that football club had only few companies that they dealt with, even after many years. But so he was one of them because he was honest with money. So in this world, we can find many dishonest things, especially in commercials, TV commercials, or other kinds of commercials. Some drugs, they say it's kind of cure for all. You know, if you just take it, you'll be healthy forever. But of course, it is exaggerated. And also, even for some drinks, alcoholic drinks, cigarettes, they put beautiful names and they portray it as if it is something quote-unquote cool. So these teenagers, they look, it's cool and they want to imitate it. But is it really honest? So if you are merchants, it is, or in the advertisement business, it is God's will to be honest about everything. And also in the workplace, there was a, let me tell you a story about a civil worker who was a Christian. And so he wanted to be completely clean. Maybe you wonder why did he have to make up his mind so firmly to be clean. But the fact is, we steal in a lot of matters without ourselves realizing it. So anyway, he looked back on himself and he realized he was stealing a lot in some senses. For example, I majored in food engineering. So in the labs, there were some amazing looking flasks and these glass vessels. So I would take one of the flasks and put the violet flower and put it in there, and it'd be so beautiful. I didn't just think about it. I actually took it, so put it in my dorm room and put some flowers in it. Then now I realized that it was stealing. So without realizing it, you might be stealing in so many things. In some hotels, some people, they take hot towels or some little stuff, little things from the hotel. So without ourselves realizing it, because they are so trivial, so little, we don't realize that we are stealing those things. So this civil worker, he decided that he would be completely clean. So when he needed to make a photocopy for personal use, he wouldn't use the Xerox machine in the office, but he would go outside to do it. Also nowadays, we have cell phones, but in the past they didn't. So he wouldn't make any personal phone calls from the office. And also, if he went on a business trip, Of course, you have to show all the receipts and then settle the account. And if there was any remaining, of course, they would have to return. But in many cases, they don't. So because he was so strict about money, would people respect him? No. They didn't like him. Why would they do that? You know, there's some people they felt uncomfortable in the same department. And some people made fun of him right to his face. But later, a couple of people began to imitate him, follow his example. And soon, the whole department became clean financially. Now I'm talking about just money and time. But so labor can be also stolen. Suppose you are a part-time worker, and if you don't do your job properly, it means you're stealing from the employer. And also, if you hire somebody and do not pay back on the right at the due time, it is also stealing the labor. Deuteronomy 24:15 says, "You shall give him his wages on his day before the sun sets, for he is poor and sets his heart on it." Maybe he has to buy some milk for his baby. He has to buy some bread for his dinner table tonight. And if the owner doesn't pay him, you'd be miserable. So that he will not cry against you to the Lord, and it becomes sin in you. So you have to pay your employees at the right time when it's due. And after hearing this, maybe you might wonder, does she understand what kind of world this is? If you are so honest and naive, how can we live in this world? I understand you might have the kind of a question or doubt. But Proverbs 10:29 says, "The way of the Lord is a stronghold to the upright, but ruin to the workers of iniquity." Proverbs chapter 2 verse 7 says, "He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity." God is our stronghold and God is our shield, and there's nothing to fear. But the problem is, even though God is saying it, people don't believe it. But even in this evil world, so in this world, people think we have to be evil to some extent, but the actual research results don't say so. The business schools of Stanford and Harvard universities, they studied for decades the famous companies around the world and made the following conclusion. The common factor in the companies that had steady growth over a period of time is that they try to be honest with their customers as well as their own employees. Those who try to be honest, even if it meant they had to suffer short-term losses, they eventually earn the trust of others. Honesty is the essence of excellence in company management. For a moment, you know, if you cheat, you might it might look like you have some gain. But in long term, eventually, it is loss. You lose trust. So let me tell you a story about a person who was blessed by God with integrity. There was a man called Chris in an electronic company in the United States. He was a good technician. And the company he was working for, it was going bankrupt. At that moment, their competitor, the Philips, the owner, the manager of Philips, invited him and suggested, "Your company is going bankrupt, so you give me the data, documents on your new products, and I'll compensate you handsomely." The company was going bankrupt anyway, but he refused, flat. "I wouldn't sell out my conscience. even though my company is going bankrupt, even if it is closing down. So actually, it went bankrupt. It was closed down and he became unemployed. But soon, the CEO of Philips Electronics, he called him and wanted to see him, said he wanted to see him. This man, Chris, he wouldn't understand why, but he went anyway, went to meet him. So he went to the Philips Electronics. And the CEO suggested, you know, people, they welcomed him, and the CEO suggested, he said he, without asking his opinion, he gave him the letter of appointment to appoint him as the technical officer. And what is this? And he said, your predecessor recommended you. I was so touched by his remarks, of which the first is, you're a good technician and your honesty touched me. Your integrity touched my heart, and your predecessor recommended you, and I agree. So I would like to appoint you as the technical officer of Philips Electronics. So he accepted the job. And sometimes you see some dishonest people looking like they are successful. So you might reinforce your thinking that in this evil world you have to be dishonest. Honesty doesn't work. But it's not just because of dishonesty or honesty. He has so many other skills, skill sets, so many other factors that could contribute, they could have contributed to his success. It's not just about honesty and dishonesty. Or maybe you see some honest people, they fail. But it's not just because of honesty or not. It's not just because they are honest that they failed. There are so many other factors. You know, our lives are not just black and white. They're not just so simple. If you have all the skill sets you need, if you have integrity, if you have faithfulness, diligence, then it'll be a tremendous asset for your success. And certainly, honesty is one of the greatest assets for your success. So we might ask this fundamental question of how, what do we have to do about money? God tells us, you reap what you sow. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 7 says, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You are reading the Bible now, and especially about money. Whatever you give to God, God is pleased with cheerful givers out of your free will. Oh, other people give that much, so I need to give this much. God is not pleased with the kind of offering. You know, trying to see how wind blows, or how much are other people giving. No. You try your best in your given circumstances with your free will, out of goodwill. That is, nowadays we talk about a lot. We talk about, you know, being born with the silver spoons a lot in Korea. Maybe you're not born with so much money, and some people get disappointed because they are not born into a rich family. But I suggest you should be thankful that you are not, you don't have rich parents. There is something called curse of oil, especially in the Middle Eastern countries. If you just dig the ground, they have oil, and which is almost same as cash. So it means those countries are like, we might say, in figuratively speaking, those countries are born with silver spoons. So the people in those countries, they don't want to work hard. They don't need any. So they don't need any changes. They just want to be at ease. So there's corruption. And especially in countries like Venezuela or now there's some of the oil producing countries. And so if you inherit a lot of money from your parents, maybe education, all those things don't guarantee your success. You might have some difficult situations. But if you just get depressed and fall into despair, then that is the end. But if you step up from there and stand up from there, and if they keep going, then they can do a lot of things. So we, you might want to have killer instinct or grit. When the Gus Hiddink, the manager of a national soccer team of South Korea for 2002 World Cup, what did he say after winning in the round of 16? He said, "I'm still hungry." He said he kept on studying how to win in the next round. So having this grit, whatever situation right now we are in, that is not the most important thing. We have to have this willpower and grit to willpower to get out of this situation. Those who are not given anything, they have different attitude from those who are given a lot of things. They try their best in all things because there's no room for any mistake. They don't live their lives as if it was a game. They always try to catch the chances and they always open their minds for new opportunities. And they read books for their improvement and to give their children a brighter and better future. They save their money. They don't have any good friends who can help them. So whoever they meet, they are humble, they serve others. So those people, they become their friends. Those who have a lot of people right from their birth, they don't have to try to make good friends, but these people, those who are born poor, for these people, everyone is precious. So they treat everybody preciously. So they become diligent, humble, and strong, and patient. The beauty of spring comes after overcoming the harsh cold of the winter. Without the winter, the flowers of spring wouldn't be so beautiful. Good horses come from rough terrain. Beethoven's music came out of his deafness. And also, the paradise of Milton. It came out of despair. So those who are in despair and do not come out of it, it's the end for them. But if they come out of it, there is the way of success. So I would say this grit is very important. So how are we supposed to manage our finance? Second Corinthians 8:9 says, "For you know, Proverbs 19:17 says, "One who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed." Proverbs 11:24-25 says, "There's one who scatters and yet increases all the more, and there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered." This is the law, principle of God. Let me tell you another story. I think I mentioned him already once in my sermon. He's already passed away, but he was the president of Yonsei University, Daesun Park, a pastor and the president of the chancellor of Yonsei University. He received a doctorate in Boston University, and he's a good man. When he was a professor in theological college, many theology students, they were poor. So before it was a Korean War, so they were really poor. So some theological students, they were wearing slippers because they didn't have any proper shoes in the cold winter. So President Park was so sorry for them. So in secret, he bought a pair of shoes for that student. He just forgot about it. And after some time, the Korean War broke out, and the communists, they came down, and especially he received a doctorate from the United States, so he was sealed as a bourgeois, and he didn't have anything to eat. And one night, there was a man who came with five big sacks of rice. "Do you remember me when I was in theological college? You bought a pair of shoes for me. With this much rice, you'd probably get through the winter." Of course, he didn't do anything wanting in anything in return. But the Bible says, the generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. So, we have to be diligent, make a living, make money, and give to the poor also. And the second part is more of active, good charitable work. That theological student, it was just a grace to that person. But now, even if they are doing evil toward you, you have to pay back evil with goodness. That's what the Bible tells us. Let me tell you this story. There was a Mr. Yang in a certain countryside village. The whole village was a Buddhist village. And he somehow came to accept Jesus Christ, and he was the only Christian in the whole village. He was a new believer. And there was this pastor who was living in another village. So this Mr. Yang one day came to the pastor. He was enraged. He was furious. So the pastor asked him what happened. And he said, "Pastor, I've been holding my anger because I learned, because you said all the time, Christians have to love each other. And then my neighbor, he is too much. He is way beyond the line. Please tell me what I should do. Probably you should have some answer because you are a pastor." And the pastor asked, "What happened?" And probably it was early spring. Five of his mother pigs went to his neighbor's field and ate up everything. So the neighbor asked for compensation. Of course, you have to pay him. And Mr. Yang said, "Of course, I would pay him, but he is asking such an unreasonable thing. He asked for all my five pigs, because the five pigs, the price wouldn't compare with the price of some vegetables there. And he was asking for all five pigs. Sows. So what, who didn't get angry? Even for a Christian, who didn't get angry in this kind of situation? The pastor thought for a while and answered. This Mr. Yang is an excellent person. And this pastor is also a wonderful pastor, in my opinion. He answered, I think your neighbor is trying to test you. If you get furious, he would secretly hope that you would be furious and you'd slip and you'd make a mistake so that they will consider Christians bad. So whatever they ask, whatever he asks for, please just give it to him. Don't worry, God the Father will pay you back. Would you be able to follow his advice? But he was angry, but he followed it anyway. After several months, it was autumn, just like nowadays. Mr. Yang came to the pastor in the middle of the night once again. Pastor, I'm sorry in the middle of the night, but I had to talk to you. I followed your advice, but of course I was angry inside. The five mother sows, giving them away. So I was still angry, but this morning something happened. Something so big. Seven bulls from their neighbor, they were grazing on my field. I couldn't believe my eyes. And the neighbor saw it and had pangs of conscience, and he came to me and asked me how he had to pay me back. Of course, I would ask for those seven bulls right away, but at least I wanted to ask for your opinion. Pastor, I won, right? I won. Seven bulls for five sows. God is giving me much more than what I lost. So he was expecting the pastor to agree. But the pastor gave out a sigh and thought for a while and said as follows, Dear brother, you are a believer. You shouldn't pay back evil with evil. You should give up your desire to take revenge, but forgive him. When you obey the will of God, God will give you even more. Right now, there is nothing. He has been taking up losses. But the pastor said the same thing once again. And Mr. Yang became a bit sad and went back. But eventually, he followed the pastor's advice, so he didn't take the seven bulls. The next day, next night, Mr. Yang came to the pastor once again and knocked on his door. And he said, Pastor, you're right. God really gave me abundantly. Just like you said last night, I didn't get any compensation from my neighbor. And this afternoon, he came to me with 90 pigs and said, All these are yours. I couldn't sleep. I didn't get any sleep last night because of you. You probably must have been so angry. Each of these five sows gave birth. And now there were 90 pigs. So this neighbor, he gave him all these 90 pigs and said, We're good now. Right? And it was such an amazing thing to receive so many pigs back. 90 of them. And if you think about the feed that this neighbor had been feeding all these 90 pigs, it's been much more than my loss. And now certainly I believe in God. And there's something more. And the pastor said, What is it? The whole village, they acknowledge me as a true Christian, devout Christian. And this is the greatest gift from God. So he didn't pay back evil with evil. But of course, in money matter, of course, it took time. From the spring to the autumn, it took some time, several months. But God blessed him. Let me conclude the message. So I'm talking about stealing and money matters and various things related with money. God wants us to be blessed. Jesus was born poor and he lived a poor life. Why? To redeem us from poverty so that we can be rich. So Christians, it's not the will of God for Christians to be poor. Some people might have this wrong idea that Christians should live a poor life. But God wants us to believe in God, believe in the Lord, and if we live according to His law, we'll be blessed, we'll be rich. Like in the case of Abraham, Moses, Daniel, they were rich, very rich. So living a rich life is not wrong. Of course, when you live by the word of God, you will be blessed. That is the principle. And of course, you shouldn't have desire for money. But you understand that your blessing comes from God. Your money comes from God. And God wants us to be rich, and not ourselves alone, but also to give to others as well. But if you live in this world, there's something more important than money. Nowadays, many people live up to 90 years, 100 years, but of course that period of time is nothing, a spot compared to eternity. So in the eternity, we'll live our life, eternal life, depending on what we do here in this short life. So as a conclusion, let me give you some Bible verses. And with a story, wrap up this message. Proverbs 11:28 says, "He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like the green leaf." Proverbs 14:24 says, "The crown of the wise is their riches, but the folly of fools is foolishness." So, even if you are rich, if you spend it in a foolish way, it might lead you to sin. There was a man who found the Aladdin's magic lamp. If you rub it, genie comes out. And he asks you for a wish. So he said, "I can do one wish for you." So he thought for a moment, and asked genie to bring newspaper after 1 year from now. Why? Because he was already rich. He wanted to find out which stocks would be which stocks would price would increase so much after a year. So the genie brought the newspaper and he was scanning the prices of the stocks, and there was this obituary. And he was so surprised because the obituary was his own, his death and the time of his funeral. And our life is like this. We don't know when we are going to go. Life and death are in the hands of God. When he calls, you have nothing to take with you. In my mother's funeral, she couldn't take anything with her. My father lived with her for 70 years. So the clothes that had to be the most beautiful. But even those clothes would be eaten by worms on this earth. There's nothing that she could take. Whatever we can take is whether we lived according to the will of God or not. Why do we have to steal? Eating well, wearing well here on this earth, being clothed well here on this earth is not what we want.
Hallelujah. Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.